Going back into history of the life of the man before I go forward in the other chapters of the book of Joshua. But what we are discovering, how this man became such a mighty man, is because he obeyed God. Yeah. And he dealt with the enemies of God. The Amalekites. There were many, many enemies, but the Amalekites were, they were one of the chief enemy. God said he would have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And the Lord had sworn that he will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Well, who are the soldiers?
We are.
Who is he? We are the soldiers. Who is he going to use? And so, but now the weapons that we're fighting with now, we're not fighting the fleshly Amalekites, but it's the spiritual Amalekites that we're fighting. And we're not fighting with carnal weapons, but we're fighting with spiritual weapons. And how do we fight? There is a Psalms that tells us that let the high praises of God be in your mouth. You understand? So when you come to church, you don't have a funeral song. Okay? You have to, it's a time for that when you're burying the dead. But you come with the sword drawn. Okay? Clap your hands, all ye people. Make a joyful noise. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. What do you think you're doing?
Amen.
You're fighting the Amalekites. You're destroying the enemies of God.
Amen.
And God come down. He dwells in the praises of his people. And God is with us. And then when you praise him, God is gone up with a shout.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And let me see if I need this scripture before I start in Psalms. Sister Rosie, remember Psalms 20.
Yes.
I want to get to that. Let me see what we can get there before I get to the scriptures that I want to get to. In Psalms chapter 20, put verse 1 up. Let me see quickly what it says. How many verses in that? Okay, put verse 1 up quickly. Let me see. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. That's what we need. We need all these help from the sanctuary because we are fighting. Okay? We are fighting the enemies of the God of Jacob, the God of Israel. We're in a fight. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice, notice, in thy salvation. That's how you fight. And in the name of our God, we will set up our what? You see that word banner, Jehovah?
Yes.
Nisi? The banner?
Yes.
Jehovah, my banner?
Yes.
How do you do that?
Yes.
You set it up in the name of the Lord. Are you reading?
Yes.
Okay, said the Lord, fulfill all thy... What's your petitions?
Amen.
Defeat thine enemies, O Lord.
Praise God.
Now, your petition is not for a car. Your petition is not for a house. Or for carnal things.
No.
If you pray that way and you preach that kind of a message all the time, you're gonna be in trouble.
Yeah.
Because that's not what it's about.
Right.
See, the more you stay in those carnal, natural, is the more the people become carnal.
Uh-huh.
But our battle is against the enemies of God.
Yes.
And it's not a carnal weapon that we are using.
Yeah.
That's why when you come to church, I was glad when they said unto me,
yes,
let us go into the house of the Lord. That's to fight
Amen.
The enemies and to fight the good fight
Amen.
Of faith.
Yes.
Now, said, verse 6, now know that the Lord saveth is anointed. He will hear him from his holy heavens with the saving strength of his right hand. See, that's what he did for Moses. When they held up the right hand of Moses and his left hand to heaven, God heard it. And God came thundering down. And Joshua received the victory. That's the same thing that we're doing when we come. Did you see how when we got to praising God? Or you begin to cast off those heavy yoke, those heavy burdens? You got to discern that. And you got to understand that the enemy is out to slow you down. And to stop you from praising God. Amen. So, some trust in chariots, war equipment. But notice now, we're not fighting with carnal weapons anymore. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but mighty. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God. The voice of triumph. That is a mighty weapon. Why don't you lift up your hands? That's like what happened to Moses in the sanctuary. Stamp your feet and tread upon the serpents and the scorpions. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember. Are you listening now? But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's our defense. That's what you trust in. That's who you call upon. The name of the Lord, which is our defense. They are brought down and fallen. Who? The enemies of the Lord. That's really belong under your feet. They're brought down and they're falling. But we are risen and stand upright on their head. We put our feet like Joshua did upon the necks of our enemies. Everywhere you put your feet, that shall be yours. Verse 9. Oh, say, O Lord, let the king, are you listening? Let the king hear us when we call. This powerful. Oh, Lord, he goes on to save us. Let the king, who is the king?
Jesus.
That's Jesus. Come on. Who is the king?
Jesus.
Who is the king?
Jesus.
Let him hear us when we call for help. Because we're fighting the enemies of God. And God is among us. God is with us. We would not fight. See, you've got to understand. It's important to how to fight. When you just come here and you're not ready. And your mind is not girded up. And you're not, you don't have your might on the Lord. But you just start church. You just begin church. You're just having church. But your instruments are not shining. And it's not ready. So you just start church. Because it's something that you're going through a formula. You're going through a tradition. So let's just have church. So you go through the clapping maybe a little bit. And you go through the instruments a little bit. But there's nothing there. There's absolutely nothing there. The enemy is not afraid of that. But you get an anointing. You let the Lord begin to touch those instruments. Let the Lord begin. I'm talking to you tonight. Because it's your time to fight. And one of the devil's purpose is that you won't show up for battle. Okay? You will not show up for battle. You don't even know you're fighting. You don't know what you're doing. You're just going through emotion. Your mind is not sharp enough. And you don't understand that you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Not to depend on anybody. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You've got a part to play. And you don't come relying on the pastor, relying on somebody else. Put a burden on somebody else. But you come here with a joy. And when you've got the joy of the Lord, that gives you strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So we enter into battle and warfare with joy. With joy unspeakable. And full of glory. Oh, with my hands lifted up. And a high praise of God. Before I go on, there's another. Is that all? There's another scripture in. Let the high praises in Psalms. Is it? And a sharp two-edged sword in your hands. Give me that scripture, that Psalms real quick. Let the high praises of God, Psalms 100, is it 150? 145, where is it at? Someone, what? 130? 149. Look at that quickly now. Psalms 149 says, go to verse 6. Go to verse 6 says, let the high, look at that. Let the high, the what? The high praises, as Brother Kobe was saying. Not some dead praises, but the high praises of God be in your mouth. Is it there tonight? Or you just want to sleep and you're yawning and you're burping? And you got to chew a piece of gum to stay awake? Well, what's in your mouth? Come on, let me ask, what's in your mouth? Is it some piece of gum that had to keep you awake? Or is it the joy of the Lord in your mouth? Is your mouth filled with praises tonight? Because you're going against a different enemy. The enemy that you're fighting tonight, not with swords and spear, but it's with praises. Amen. You fight him with the sharp two-edged sword of your tongue. Out of his mouth goeth forth a sharp two-edged sword. That's what's coming out of her mouth. And we are harmed with the same weapon that Jesus has. The captain of the hosts of the Lord. The captain of our salvation. So, let it. Can you do that? Let the high praises of God be in your mouth. And a two-edged sword in their hands. Go to verse 2. Look at verse 2 now. The same chapter. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. You see, who made you? I said, who made you? Who made you? And so how come you're rejoicing in a car when the car didn't make you? And you can rejoice if you get a paycheck or something, but you can't praise him because he made you. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Are you joyful in your king tonight? Can you say praise the Lord for King Jesus? So tonight, we want to praise the Lord and we want to bless him with all our hearts. Now, I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And if you will go with me and help me, because my prints are a little bit fine, my Bible prints. So I have to depend on the board. So go there, 1 Samuel chapter 15, and where the Lord, let me see. I think I will start at verse 10. Okay. No, I want to go a little bit more. Let me start at verse 1. Let's go through fast. Verse 1. Then came the word of the Lord. Notice it was the word of the Lord unto Samuel and said unto Saul. Am I missing something? The Lord sent me to anoint thee king over his people and over Israel. Now you see, what God is doing is reminding him through Samuel where he came from. So a lot of us forget where we came from. And we get proud and lifted up. And we refuse to do it like how God tells us. We do it, but we'll do it my way, our way. God, it doesn't work like that. It's God's way or no way. Okay, you do it your way, you're going to fail. It has to be the way the Lord. You build a church the way you think, or you know. Well, I know how to build a church. That's not true. There's nobody here, including me, knows how to build a church. It's the Holy Spirit that knows how to build a church. So don't just stick your head, the church where I came from, we don't want to hear where you came from. It's where you are right now that we're talking about. Don't tell me where you, if you, then how come you're not better off? Huh? If you came from such a good church, how come you're not even, how come you're, okay, let me go on. Said, and Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people Israel. And that happened before. Over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. You see, the man had a warning. Just like how I warned you. But you don't listen. When I tell you that you've got to be faithful, otherwise you're going to lose your anointing. You cannot pick it up, drop it down, start and stop, pick it up, start and stop, come, absent, you're going to lose your anointing. Okay? One of these days, like Samson, you're going to try to lift the iron gate and it's not going to move. Okay, now, said, okay, verse, thus said the Lord of hosts. See, every once in a while you go back and remind and you remember and say, God, I thank you from where you brought me from. Amen. Okay? Don't forget where you came from. Amen. And ask him to use you. Then said the Lord of hosts,
I remember
that which Amalek, remember now, we touched it this morning. God will remember from generation to generation. But look how far over and God still remember.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that God forget tonight?
No.
Don't you know God raise up, is raising up armies after armies, generation after generation?
Yeah.
Huh? Of fighters? He said, I remember
that which
Amalek did to Israel. Are we laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt? What did he do? You can go back and find it. And how Amalek slew the weak ones, the sick, and the ones that was in their rear. The ones that could not keep up. They had no mercy. They were vicious against the people of God. So God said, I don't forget that. I don't forget that. See, one of the problems, God's different from us. We like to, forgive him. Forgive her. She was so innocent. Not when she tear up the work of God. Not when he did or she did. I'm not talking about somebody just go cold and backslide. But when somebody viciously tear up and smite the saints and hurt the church and say vicious things. And they're just going to walk back in and you make an elder out of them? No, you don't even use them to put the garbage out.
Amen.
Okay. See, so he said that God said, I remember. Well, you need to remember too. He said, I remember. Now go and smite Amalek. That's a command now. And utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. Amen. You see, let me just put the scene. That's what mortification does in your life. Mortification is totally smiting, slaying, destroying the Amalekites.
Wow. Amen.
Every work of the flesh, every work of the devil. So it says that destroy them utterly, destroy them all that they have. Amen. And utterly destroyed all that they have. Smite them and burn up, kill everything they have. And spare them not, but slay both. We touched that this morning. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox, sheep, and camel. That doesn't leave anything else. Amen? Nothing at all. In other words, you slay everybody that can speak, everybody that bray. Everything that barks. Amen.
Amen.
Everything that move.
Amen.
Kill them all.
Amen.
Babies and all.
Amen.
I didn't say it. It's God.
Yeah.
Well, could God do that? All right, Mr. Self-Righteous. All right, Mrs. Self-Righteous. You know, you challenge God on that. And you find out where you come up. Because you're taking side with the enemy. When God said destroy everything in you that is not of God, get it out.
Yes.
Don't spare them.
Right.
Now, go verse 4 says, and Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Talaim. A mighty army, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. What an army. Now, next verse. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for he showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites depart from among the Amalekites. Next verse. Notice, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Evalia until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag. All right, notice, Agag was the king of the Amalekites. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. That's her problem. You know, we take, you kill one, you chunk it, but some things you spare alive. I don't want to get rid of that. I like that. You know, some pet sins. We don't want to kill that one. Some pet habits. Oh, I'm going to, you know, some traditions. We don't mind killing the ones we don't like. But the ones that we like, besetting sins. We hold on to those. And let me go on, says, he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, but he utterly destroyed all the people that he didn't like, my words, with the edge of the sword. It's like, you know, you shun some company that you don't like, but the others that you like, you don't put it away. It's hard to get that out of you. Okay, they're special friends, right? But Saul and the church, I mean the people, spared Agag. You see that? You can have a church in compromise. They spared Agag. That's the king now. Agag was the king. Let's go on and see what it says. And the best of the sheep. And of the oxen, and of the fatling, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was good, that was vile. Notice what they do. The little vile things, we pick, you know, choose. The one that was vile and refuse, we put that out. We get the victory over that. And we come and say, oh, I've got the victory tonight. But what about the kings? What about the things that you love? What about the things that we love? He says that they destroyed utterly the ones that's vile. You don't like that person over there. Have you noticed that? You don't like that one, so you destroy them. But the ones you like, no matter how wrong they are, you're buddies with them. You defend them. Do you find something like that? Have you ever seen anything like that? We destroy the things that we don't like. Destroy the person we don't like. But the ones we like, oh, we don't see. It's like some families. It's like some parents. They never see a wrong in their children. But let other children, do less. And they talk about them all night. Because they're blinded to the eyes of their own children. Oh, my kid wouldn't do that. And if the pastor correct their little brat, they puff and they're upset. They're not getting upset at their brat. They don't see that they raised them wrong. And they spoil. And they're rotten. And they need correction. They don't see that. It's the pastor. They're always picking on my sweet little child. I want you to know, she or he ain't that sweet. Sweet in your eyes. Then, am I right there? 10? Then came the word of the Lord. Notice here, they spare them, but the word of God's coming back. And you might spare that, but the word of God's coming back. Don't get upset when the word come back. God never forget what he said. And God said, kill them all. And you spare the best. And you're trying to think that God doesn't know. God's not going to say nothing. Remember now, it was not Samuel that found out. It was not Samuel that told God that Saul did not obey. It was God that told Samuel. And it's not the pastor that telling you that you're not obeying God. It's God that telling the pastor to tell you. So, you want to get upset? There is he up there. Go ahead and tell him. He's up there sitting on the throne. Please go ahead tonight or right now and tell him you don't like what he's saying. Tell him you don't like the book of wars that he wrote. How many is willing to do that tonight? Give the pastor a break. All he's doing is delivering a letter. Do you get upset with the mailman? The pastor is just a mailman carrying your mail. So don't get mad because he brought you a summons, a warrant. Amen. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, it grieves the pastor, and he cried all night for the church. He prayed sometimes for you, that you will change, that you will stop being so rebellious. Stop doing what you're doing. Cut it out. But you won't. You won't. And then sometimes God says, how long are you going to pray for that rebel? He will do that. You keep doing it over and over and over and over. Then you take a little break and you go back over and over and over again. Because you have no fear. Now look at this. Says, and when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and he's gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul. I want you to look now. I want you to look at hypocrisy. You know that sometimes the people that disobey more is the one that's quick to praise and glorify themselves. You don't have to wait to testify about them. They'll give you their own testimony. But the true testimony is in the tent. He had Agag in his tent. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said, look at this. Are you reading now with me? And Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. Woo, what a day. Let's have church, pastor. I'm really ready today. Woo, my, I'm just coming back from the battle, and I kill them all. I was up last night praying and fasting, and I'm ready. And all the time. All the time. You were all shook up. Yeah. But I was. No, you were not. You were all shook up. You know, you're suddenly quiet now. Oh, I was up praising the Lord. Keep quiet. Just keep quiet. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, notice here, self-praise, exalting self. Never see your fault, never see your problem. Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. Oh my goodness, didn't we have a good service? My, didn't he preach? Didn't she sin? Didn't he testify? Woo, my goodness. We've obeyed the Lord this weekend. What a service. All right. Are you with me? Samuel said, then what meaneth, if you've obeyed God, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my hair? How come I'm hearing something else coming out of your sound and your praise that doesn't sound like God. Are you listening?
Yes.
You're quiet.
Yes.
Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears? You see, when you're lying to a man of God, you don't know all you're just bleating.
Right.
Even when you're praising. You think you're hearing praising and you're praising, but he's hearing meh. Meh. Or maybe it's a bow wow. Or a woof. Meow. When you're praising, meow. That little kitten cat that you hid there. So beautiful. The things that you treasure and the things that you pet, that's what God wants to kill. Our treasure is God's garbage. What you and I treasure, that's what God wants to kill. What we call precious is vile. And what we call good is no good. So search yourself.
Amen. Thank you.
What we call praise is just a meow. So you need to come to church, stop praying. So you need to get it out. Clean it out. Clean out the Amalekites. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears? If you kill them all, if you got rid of that bad spirit, how come you so hungry? How come hunger rests in your bosom? It's bleating. How come jealousy? You want me to go on now? There's a whole lot more there. It's there, and you got to get rid of that. You got to get rid of that spirit, those spirits. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. You got to bury the old Adam. Don't resurrect him. How come? I like this. What meaneth then? If you forgive her, if you forgive him, how come I just see you talking to that sister and passing or somebody, and you're talking about that other one? Or how come you can't talk to everybody in the church? You have special people. I know that, special people. When you talk to somebody for more than 5-10 minutes, they become special.
Come on.
See, I don't like some. That's what I'm saying now. You kill some, and you overlove some. When you got an enemy, you go, you see, you know, you go to your smile with that one you love, and as soon as your enemy come up, you got two faces, two spirits. You change. The one that you smile with should cut it and say, they don't like me either. I don't care what nobody do you, you're supposed to speak to them. Let not the sun goes down on your rod. Am I preaching tonight?
Yes.
Am I talking to the church?
Yes.
Say, well, where I come from, they didn't preach like, that's why you blessed that God sent you here. Because I'm not like the church where you came from. I'm going to tell you the truth. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ear? And look, and the lowing of the oxen, which I hear. You're praising, but all I'm hearing is the bleating and the sound of the animals. And Saul said, notice there's always a cover up. They. Can you hear the? Can you hear they? Are you with me now? You ought to be shouting at me right here. They. What other? They. They, may, they. Every time you open your mouth, they. The bleating, they. I've brought them from the Amalekite. You see, but he was in charge. But he blaming the people, said, I'm not a good captain. I'm not a good king. I'm not a good pastor. I'm not a good... It's they don't want to change. They like those kind of music. I came on tonight, and that music was a funeral. Funeral. That's one of the deadest music I've ever heard. You know why? You guys are missing something up there. You're not getting with it. And it's so dead that you didn't even know it was dead. You know why? Because you were part of the problems. You didn't come praising God. But when you really put it, you saw the door quickly. On the other side of death was praise. This is serious.
Amen.
And you can go to a service missing with the wrong message.
Amen.
Or the wrong thing. When you get up to do something for God with all your might, it should be done. They have brought them from the Amalekites.
Amen.
Do you understand when there's nobody in charge? Who lives around here? There's nobody in charge. There's no pastor. He's there, but he's not pastoring because he's afraid of the people. Otherwise, he couldn't read the book of the law, or the book of wars. This is it. This is no petty book to comfort you. This is not where you. This is not a begging book where you beg for cars and gold watches. Get that stuff out of here.
That's right. Yes. Amen.
And every preacher that build their ministry and that, they ought to go back and pray. Because that's not the way it is. It's a war.
That's right.
It's warfare.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not saying if somebody give you a gold watch, take it. When every 20th year you get a gold watch or something when you serve? I'm gone 22 years or something like that. My gold watch. Okay, now can we get with it now? You like this?
Yes.
For the people spared, that's Saul's talking, spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen. Lord, Lord, what a lie. Pastor, I won't be here tonight. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to read my Bible. The Lord lays something. You hypocrite, come on to church. But you're going to read your Bible. You're going to stay home from church. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. As the manner of some is. Now, look at this. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy, not his God, but thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed, but we kept the best. Don't look at the sins that you're overcoming. Look at the ones you're not overcoming. And get them out. I'm not concerned about the one you have the victory over. I'm concerned about the one you leave right there.
Yeah, the best.
The best. The people. Like you blame your relatives for you can't get a victory. Mm-hmm. That's not them. Like you blame your children.
Mm-hmm.
If my boy would change. No, you change.
Yeah.
Or otherwise, it's the road. Mm. Right. Them go on the road. And tell them, don't you come back anymore. The people, right? So, now. He lost command. He lost command. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay. And I will tell thee what the Lord had said to me this night. See, do you understand now? While he's planning, God is talking against him to the man of God. Say, what God told me this night about you. That's why you come to church getting mad at the pastor. When you're doing something wrong and God is talking to him about you. and he come and preach against what you're doing, and you say, who told him? Look up above. Look above your head. Have you ever looked up? Somebody's talking to him up there over your head. But you're not looking up. And you pout. And you're mad. And you said he's talking about me. Huh? But you blame the wrong one. His God told him about you. And he's just delivering him your mails. And sometimes it's an urgent mail. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord had said to me this night. And he said, look at that. Go on, say on. How are you doing, sister? Fine. How are you doing, brother? Oh, I'm fine. Blessed of God. That's not what God told me about you. And Samuel said, when you were small, little, I don't mean in size, I mean you didn't have nothing. In thine own eyes, see, you're small, you're not exalted. Wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But some of us forget. We get big. And the Lord sent thee now on a journey, a mission, and said, go on utterly, destroy these sinners. I see that now. We're getting somewhere. These were sinners above sinners. Destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Remember, God swore earlier to destroy them from the days of Moses. Now here he's sending Saul to do it, and he failed. Now, coming on to our day, the torch is now passed on to our day, but we don't even know, and we're sparing the Amalekites. When the pastor said, warfare, let's destroy them out of our lives, we get mad at the pastor. But the Amalekites must go. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? Why didn't you obey the voice of the Lord? But didst fly. Look at that. Look at it. Fly upon the spoil. You know what? That's a term. Mean they greedily. Everybody was just, they weren't killing the Amalekites. They were just grabbing. When we're supposed to be killing Amalekites, guess what we're doing? We're flying upon the spoils and we're getting richer and grabbing. We don't care who we get it from. So we can have the nicest house and cars and everything. We spoil, we fly upon the spoil. Rip off. All kind of tricks and gimmicks. But look at it. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and its evil in the sight of the Lord. You know, I heard a pastor, one of my friends this morning was preaching, not calling names. But that really touched me. It's from another country. I'm not going to tell you it's Africa. But he was preaching and he said that somebody came in his office and gave him 20,000, whatever it was. I'm not going to say shillings, then you'll know where I'm talking about countries use shillings. But England use shillings, right? Yeah. No. Do they? They do, yes. But anyway, but it touched me so much. And the pastor said before he left his office, he didn't have any because he gave it all away. That really touched me. Because I felt like that's the way a pastor, I operate like that sometimes. That's the way sometimes. Amen. And it really, really touched me. Amen. Anyway, I'll just show you. But Saul said, Samuel said, you guys greedily fly upon the spoil. Verse. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed. Look at it, still contradicting. Will not change. Yes, my son is right, Pastor. No, you're showing that mother and that father that your son is a brat. No, Pastor. I raised him. That's why it's like that. Pastor, you don't understand. I've got some good children. They are. In your eyes. And you only correct those things that you don't like. But anytime you see a parent, my Johnny is so sweet. My, oh, isn't she beautiful? My, come on, keep quiet. You notice how my daughter is beautiful? I didn't. All I saw was the bleating. Those bad spirits. Beauty is not the face. It's what comes from the heart.
Amen.
And you're looking on the outward. We look at some of these young girls, I use them, coming up in her midst. Beautiful. You know why? The gospel is getting a hold of them. They're not beautiful just because they were born beautiful. This morning, was it Katie stood here? She's a beautiful girl, but I didn't see that. I saw what she said.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I saw the beauty of what she said.
Yeah.
And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. Lie. And I brought Agag. Don't you see that? It come out. You will let it out. You try to cover up, but the king will come out.
Amen.
No, Pastor, I didn't. Oh, no, but Agag is going to come out. It's hard to cover the king. But he said now, it slipped maybe out of his mouth, and I brought Agag, the king of the Amalekites. No, instead of killing him, guess what they do? They brought it in the camp. And I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. No, they did not. He did not. But the people took a verse. 21. But the people took of the spoil. You notice Saul never blamed himself? It's but the people took of the spoil of the sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. You see how we can get mixed up by the, you know, lying? Let me go on.
And Samuel said,
at the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. That's what God wants. Just obey him. Obedience. Better than sacrifice. Behold, to obey. See that? You talk to somebody, they obey. Instead of twisting and arguing and, well, you see, Pastor, and Pastor did. And I, oh yes, Pastor, and I need to, and I, that person have no hope unless they change. But you see, they don't know the scripture. But when you know the scripture, you know you're wasting time. Unless God grant them a miracle, they'll go down with that spirit. Saul did. I want to show you something. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Are you listening?
Amen.
Read on. For, look at this. You know what rebellion is? When the pastor show you from the word of God, do this, and you do it differently. That's all it is. And you don't even feel it. Because it's very subtle. It looked like you haven't done it wrong. And everything inside you want to defend yourself. And you go on back home. Instead of repenting and saying yes, you're murmuring, Husband, are you going to stand there and let him say all that thing about me? Wife? Did you hear what the pastor said about your husband? Whose side are you on? But you got a good wife or a good husband, they're going to say, yes, I saw those things in you. I can hear the bleating. I can see the king. Don't compromise. Don't back up. And you're afraid of your wife or your little husband. You stand there and say you're wrong. The word of God is right. When you find a wife or a husband defending, well, I love my husband. No, you don't. Yes, I do. That's puppy's love. That's not real love. Because you know he's going to die under the judgment. If you love him, or if you love her, let them obey God. Oh, you're not clapping. You didn't hear what I said. When you love somebody, you let them obey God. You don't let them disobey God. Because God's going to kill them. And you. Are you listening, church? You be a good church now. Don't get in the way of your husband or your wife or your children. Back off. Leave them alone. Just quit nagging them. Because you're not perfect. And they know it. When they're not listening to you because they know you're not perfect. You're telling them to do something that you've never done or you're not going to do. It's easier to do that, don't it? It's easier to instruct somebody about something that you're not going to do. And you come up with this, oh, my daughter is just like me. Oh, I'm sorry for that woke girl. My son is just like mama, just like daddy. Ooh, I'm sorry for that boy. There's no hope for them. Because they're supposed to be like Jesus. Don't train your kids to be like you. There's nothing there. Train them to be like Jesus. For rebellion is as the sin of... Do you see that? A witch? Now, we don't want to build a church with witches. The Bible said Saul was told to kill all the witch or the witches. Can you... I look out there and just a bunch of witch I'm looking at. And all you guys... not you guys, but I mean you guys. Not you guys as in you guys. Some church just need a broomstick. Witch. You say something. Are you worrying about Halloween? No, I don't, because every weekend I got Halloween. Maybe. For rebellion. Watch this. I didn't say that. When there's rebellion in your heart, look what it. You are a witch. When you keep doing it and the pastor don't want you to do that, don't agree because the word of God says no, and tell you to be faithful and humble, and you keep, you little witch. Look at Azel. Walking away from the pastor. Look at Azel. You know what Azel is? Getting on her little broomstick, flying away. You see that? That black, ugly spirit? All the witches. And rebellion is... That's why Saul couldn't even kill all the witch. He went back for counsel. You don't destroy it, you take counsel from them. You don't destroy it, they'll tell your future. For rebellion in closing is as the sin... And I won't get to chapter 6 of Joshua, but I will. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Have you ever seen stubbornness? You said don't do that, and they go exactly and do it. They're rich and they're stubborn. Do you see? Can these labels fit anybody in this church? No, it doesn't fit me. Well, are you obeying? Are you obeying? Try that on for size. If you're not obeying the word and the commands of God, this is where you are. If the shoes fit, wear it. For rebellion, what a lesson, what a word. You see where God brought us from? Hey, that's why this church is changing. That's why you should be changing. And that old foolishness that you keep going true and true over and over, the stumbling block, you little witch, get off your broomstick. Amen. And get the Bible. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity. And look what here. What a sin. Idolatry. That same thing that you won't give up and surrender like Mary at the feet of Jesus. Like Peter falling down and repenting. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Stubborn. When you won't change. You know those little habits you pick up, you're born with, you won't get it out. You won't shut. You give up everything beside that stubbornness. You're told that's wrong, but you don't believe it. It's inside of you. And you keep doing it, and you get rid a little bit, but it come back again. Stubborn. Stubborn is just when you're told from the word of God and you stand there too long. When the word of God says go right now and you stand there for 2 seconds over. That's stubborn. You getting it? Doing opposite. You ever seen a kid? Mama say go make up your room, put away your toys. What do they do? That's you. They have little toys, but you have the word of God toying with. These are your toys. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he had also, do you understand what's going on here now? He had also rejected thee from being king. You can lose your ministry for being stubborn. From being told the word of God over and over, and you do exactly the same thing. And God spew you out. Rebellion. You ought to go home tonight and get your Bible out. Don't rush. And go over every one of these sins. I'm checking myself. Although I'm the pastor and I'm the preacher. But you think that you can just read and make a message up for somebody else? And it doesn't affect you? It brings tears to my eyes. Stubbornness. And Saul said unto Samuel, look at this. I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy word, because I feared, see, the people and obeyed their voice. Yes, he was wrong. But let's go on and see more. He was wrong. But notice here now. Look at it. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin. Samuel doesn't pardon sin. The guy doesn't even talk to God. Talk to Samuel. It's like some of you. You don't talk to the pastor. You talk to somebody else. To see if you can cover it and bury it and get away with it. Conscience. Then you ease yourself because you just talk to somebody else. So when you get to the pastor, by the time you get to the pastor, it's over. Or let me do it first and repent after. Let me spare all these lovely things. Then I can repent. See, and he goes on and says, now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin. And turn again with me. You see that? He's prideful still. He's just thinking about what the people say now. How good a king he is. He's got the favor of Samuel, that I may worship the Lord. The guy should, this is not a time for worship. This is a time to get down on his face in the dust and repent. Amen. So sometime we come and we rebel against God and we go right into worship. when it's time to repent. Because we just disobeyed. We weren't in obedience. But we think we can, because you don't think it's anything wrong. That's your problem. That's your problem. You don't think there's anything wrong. You don't think you've sinned. You don't think you've rebelled. You think it's all right. That's how blind we are. But if you could ever see that you did wrong, instead of just worshiping, you would bow down and say, oh God, forgive me. Because for everything, there's a time and a season. There's a time to mourn, right? And there's a time to dance. And you want to dance when it's time to be mourning. Oh, let's forget and clap your hands, people, or everybody. And I'm preaching up a storm. And come on, why don't everybody shout? They're hearing bleatings. It's not time to worship. You worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. But you didn't have a beauty of holiness right there. You need to cleanse that place. You need to cleanse the sanctuary. That's your lives. Oh boy, I'm coming through a manner. Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over. Why? Because he disobeyed God. Look how you can lose your ministry. You got a talent. Many people got talents, but it doesn't amount because they're not submissive. They're full of rebellion. So your talent never, and there's no reward for it. How would you like to live your life with a talent or a gift that you never get blessed for? Because there's something inside of you that needs to come out. That's why we need to repent. That's what God is leading me into. He said, you need to repent of all your sins. Check your life. Go over it every day. Ask God, well, I didn't leave the house. I didn't do nothing. Your thoughts. Amen. Ask God for a clean heart and a right spirit. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Oh, and I read those scripture. When I read those scripture from, is it Ezekiel 36? And tears come to my eyes. Create in me. God said, I will give them a new heart. And a new spirit. I said, God, give that to me. Give it to me. I need it. I need it. A right heart. True heart. The heart is deceitful. I don't want to live all my life and miss God and go to hell. So I ask God to forgive me. Blot out all my sins. What a loving God. And he's going to, if we confess our sins, don't go around confessing sins to everybody. Don't do that. Don't even tell your husband and wife. Get in your closet and pour out your heart to God. I said, Lord, forgive me. In the midnight hour, you can't sleep. Don't take sleeping pills. Come on, you got a word. Maybe the Lord wants you to get up to fight. Oh, I wish I was coming true to you tonight. I wish you was hearing what I'm saying. I wish there's a church that would say, oh, God, that's me. Don't just sit there and pass it the buck and say, no, it's not for me. It's yours. Let it stop with you and say, oh God, I've sinned against you. And as Samuel turned about, notice Samuel, he wasn't going to bow. As Samuel turned to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and it rent. But look on. Samuel said unto him, in other words, this is not just chance. This is not just an accident. Is the Lord saying something to you? Your ministry is over. Sad, isn't it? Sad, because he wouldn't change. He wouldn't do what God wanted. When God says, go and kill them, he spared them. When God said, get rid of that spirit out of your life, get rid of that thing out of your life, you hold on to it. You will never give it up. And okay, you're going to do it again and again and again till finally one day it's over. That's how it's going to work. If you won't stop doing and obey God and surrender God, it's going to play out. And when you think that nothing's going to happen, that's when it comes, because it comes by surprise. It comes where you don't expect it. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day. He lost your ministry. You'll never be king. He said, but he still was in the office for a long time. But he already, anytime God rejects you, that's when it's over, although you continue floating. Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. Now notice, that's when his war began. From then on, he began to fight the neighbor that what God's trying to raise up, he's trying to kill it. Because he saw God raising it up, you're trying to kill it. You can't. You can't. And also, this is it. The strength, who is the strength of Israel? Of course. The strength of Israel will not lie. In other words, you lost it. You can't change it. Will not lie nor repent. For he is not a man that he should lie. And we found that in Numbers. We had that there a few weeks ago. God is not a man that he should lie. Now go on. I wish I could go to Joshua 6, but I'll do it. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee. Do you understand? Some people don't care. They'd rather honor than getting rid of their sins. They still want honor. Honor me before the people and the elders, I pray thee, and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. Thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord, but nothing happened. Then said Samuel, bring me Agag. Bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. You see, he repent, but they were still all in his tent. He didn't say, go let me get. Samuel said, go get him. He repent, but he didn't want to get rid of him. He didn't want to throw it out. He didn't change. Repent, but he was still going there. Repent, but he was still heading. Can somebody repent? I need to make changes. And there they go. Same old thing. The same road. The same attitude. The same spirit. The same party. The same thing. What they did last year, they're doing it again. But they repented. But no change. How come it's so quiet? This word of God is true. Then said Samuel, bring ye either to me. They wouldn't bring it out voluntary. They won't throw it out. They won't stop. So that's why you can't succeed, because you still have it covered up in your tents, in your heart. You put a veil over it and you shield it, and nobody can touch that. There's no pastor can touch it. But you would be more profitable if you obey the word of God. Amen. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. God wanted to get rid of his enemies, and this guy is sparing them. God wanted to throw sin out, and we're sparing them. We got to get rid of them. And Agag, look at that, came unto him delicately. Somebody help me with that word. Delicately, in his robe, and he's so smooth, you know, and trying to charm Samuel. You don't charm a man of God, right? And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. In other words, Saul has forgiven me. There's no more death sentence. I'm free. That's not what you think. A real man of God going to cut you in pieces. So, Samuel, what verse? And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women.
And Samuel hewed
Agag in pieces before the Lord. Just imagine now. Samuel got the sword and just and push him over. Can you imagine? And no doubt, give the guy a kick. And took his sword and wiped it off in his blood. That's what. That's what this is it. What you spearing, this will cut it up. What we spear, you see, this will cut it up. What you're hiding in your heart, it will get it. You can't hide. Come straight. Don't sneak. Don't pretend and then you're going to do it. And then you lie to the pastor. You go around the pastor and sneak. Agag, the Amalekites, the kings, you got to kill those. We've got to kill them. Closing. What I want to show you is that two men that disobeyed God and how they died, they lost everything. We're going to go over to Achan and Joshua to compare. Saul lost his kingdom. He fought to get it. He couldn't. And when we don't destroy the Amalekites in our church, we are in trouble. When we come to church, we ought to let the high praises of God be in our mouth on a two-edged sword. But when you praise, when you're afraid and you will not do it, you're going to die. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gilgal of Saul. But notice this. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul until the Lord says, look, cut it out. The Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Amen. See, and Saul, the Lord had to tell Samuel, cut it out. Don't pray. Don't repent. Don't cry. Don't weep for Saul anymore. It's over. It's over. God said, I'm not going to restore him. I found a man with a heart after God. Amen. Amen. That's why we want to build a church with God's own heart. And I'm going to show you that when we don't kill the enemies of God, we're in danger. Now, I'm not saying you're perfect. And I'm not. But we got to kill some enemies. Come on, we need to go home. I don't know you Amalekites. I don't know what's there. But we need to get home. And when we get home tonight, go over the scriptures and get on our faces. Or whatever you do, walk around your house, do something. But ask God to forgive you before you fall asleep. To get rid of all the Amalekites and all the sin. Ask God to obey. That, tell God I want to obey you. Amen.